Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join Pastor Tim Yazel for today's message.
I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus chapter 13. We'll be starting there, Exodus chapter 13. I want to look at a message that God has laid on my heart. Almost 9 years ago now, boy, it's hard to believe, we had our first grandchild. And our first grandchild is a boy. His name is Alexander. And when Alexander was born, we found a book that we say, oh, we've got to get that for him. This has to be his book. And so this was almost 9 years ago that we got this book for him. And the book is entitled Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Any of you ever heard of that book? How many of you heard of the book before the movie came out? Okay, some of you did. Okay, great. Well, unfortunately, in this book, Alexander is having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. For instance, Alexander wakes up and the chewing gum that had been in his mouth when he went to bed the night before is now in his hair. When he gets out of bed, he trips over the skateboard. And at breakfast, his brothers each find amazing prizes in their cereal boxes, but in Alexander's cereal box, there was just cereal. At the shoe store, Alexander wanted blue sneakers with red stripes, but they were all out of those, so his mom bought him plain old white sneakers. And so goes his whole day. It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. So Alexander decided he was going to move to Australia. Now, have any of you ever had a day like that? How many of you have had a day like that recently? Yeah, okay. Several of us. Okay. A day that you were glad to get it over. A day that really tested your faith. Several of my Facebook friends have posted within the last few weeks that they were having that kind of day. One lady told me that she was having that kind of year. And I know in talking to some of you that 2015 has already been a very tough, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year. And you're not so sure that you even have the faith to get through it. You know, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days happen to all of us, even mature, obedient Christians. We can all have those kind of days. And often those days are God's way of shaping us into what He wants us to be. And when we realize that God is using these terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days to shape us into what He wants us to be, then we've got to be careful that we don't pull the plug before He's finished. We need to have faith that God is doing a good work in us. Now let me ask you this. As the old saying goes, have you ever found yourself between the devil and the deep blue sea? You ever found yourself in a predicament that you knew this is not good? I'm not going to be able to get out of this predicament. We say we're between the devil and the deep blue sea. Well, today we are going to look at a people that were between the devil and the deep red sea. And we find that in the book of Exodus. By way of some background, God's people Israel had been in bondage and slavery in Egypt. They spent over 400 years in slavery. God finally raised up a man by the name of Moses, and He sent Moses to Pharaoh to say, Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh refused to let them go. So God brought upon the people of Egypt and upon Pharaoh various plagues. And finally, the plagues got bad enough, especially with the death of the firstborn in every family, that Pharaoh relented. He gave in and he let God's people go. And God led His people out of Egypt. I call your attention to Exodus chapter 13, and I want to begin reading with verse 21. Exodus 13 and verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So God decides that since Pharaoh has agreed to let his people go, that God himself would lead them out of Egypt. But rather than leading the people of Israel directly to the promised land, God had them make a turn and head toward the Red Sea. Even though the other path was more direct and much shorter, God took them on a detour. Now, I can imagine that the people of Israel knew their geography well enough to know that they were not going the right direction. God had led them a direction not toward the promised land, but away from the promised land. God even had them backtrack. And all they could do, all that God asked them to do, all they were supposed to do, was follow. Follow God as He led. They were to follow God by faith. Now, at first they did. It was easy. Just follow the cloud or follow the pillar of fire and trust God. It was easy. But look where it got them. I want you to drop down, if you would, to Exodus chapter 14. And we'll pick up the story with verse 1. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And it will harden Pharaoh's heart. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, had the people of Israel gone directly toward Canaan, toward the promised land, it might have been a couple hundred miles or so, the direct route. They would have gone along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea through Philistia, and they would have arrived directly at the promised land. But that was not God's plan. God's plan was that He had a detour in mind. A detour that, even though it didn't make sense to the people of Israel, a detour that would actually help them in their resolve to get to the promised land. Now, why in the world did God plan this detour? Why does God allow detours to come into our lives? Well, the purpose for this detour in the nation of Israel's lives was that God wanted to teach His people a whole new pattern for living, a pattern whereby they would walk daily by faith, a pattern where they had no choice but to trust Him. They didn't have GPS back then. So if the cloud moved, they followed. And if the cloud moved in what they thought was the wrong direction, they had no roadmap, no GPS. All they could do was follow. God wanted to teach them to walk daily, trusting Him, following Him by faith. So He's teaching them this new pattern. A new pattern where they had no choice but to trust Him. In the same way in our Christian lives, we are often faced with unexpected circumstances. Oftentimes, unwelcome difficulties enter into our lives. Because God knows that in these difficult times, in these difficult circumstances, that they will cause our faith to grow, and they will cause us to trust Him more. These detours catch us unexpectedly. They catch us off guard. When God allows detours, God wants to strengthen our faith and cause us to trust Him more. One of my favorite parts of spring, something that I obviously did not do often enough, but that is to fly kites. I think it's awesome to go fly a kite and just think of that kite up there soaring. You know, you look up and you see the beautiful colors against the blue sky, just like you see in our background up here this morning. But what if a kite could talk? What if it was able to communicate to us back down on the ground? What might that kite say? Well, maybe it would be something like this. Wow! Just look at me! All decked out in these beautiful colors and moving here and there gracefully, moving on the wind, gliding through the air, soaring like a bird. Just look at me. But look at that pesky kid down there holding on to that string. I mean, if it wasn't for that kid, how aggravating. I could fly unhindered if it wasn't for that kid. I could soar. But I am so hindered by that string. If I wasn't so handicapped by that cord that he's holding, I could fly to the moon. If only I wasn't so tied down by that string. I don't know if any of you have ever thought that or not. Thought that if you let go of the string, or if the string broke, your kite would just take off up into the sky and you'd never see it again. It'd be lost in the clouds. Well, I'll never forget taking my kids to the high school to fly kites on the playground. And after I got the first kite in the air, I handed the string to my very young son, Ryan, only to have him almost immediately let go of the string. I don't know about you, but if you ever feared that your kite would just take off into the clouds, if you've ever let go of the string, you know that it just doesn't work that way. My son let go of that string and the kite came weakly wobbling down to the ground. The string got tangled in the fence. The very thing, the very hindrance, the very annoyance that the kite thought was holding it back, keeping it from soaring, was the very thing that was causing the kite to soar. That string that the kite might have viewed as keeping it from reaching its full potential, was the very thing that was keeping it up in the air and causing it to soar. You know, in the same way, in our Christian lives, much of our progress in our Christian journey can be credited to the restraints, to the cords, to the detours. We might think if God would just remove these restrictions, if God could just get rid of these difficult times, if God would just set our circumstances back the way we think they should be, then everything would be okay. When in reality, if God would remove these restrictions, if God would remove these restraints, if God would take away these difficult times, our lives might become weak and wobbly, just like the kite. Have you ever thought you knew God's plan clearly? And thought you were following the right path? only to have God say, no, I want you to go this way. But God, you've told me to go this way. But I want you to go this way now. Remember the detour we talked about in Philip's life when he was having that great time in Samaria preaching? Things were happening. People's lives were being changed. And God said, but I want you to go down to the road that leads to the desert because there's one guy there. But Lord, there are hundreds here, maybe thousands here. They're responding to the gospel. But I want you to go down to the road that leads to the desert. We thought we knew God's plan. We thought we were on path. But there's a detour. Sometimes the detour might not have even been what God wanted. The detour might be the result of somebody else's sin or somebody else's bad decision. But God has allowed the detour. Some friends of mine had an album out that had a song on it that said, nothing will happen to me today. Nothing good, nothing bad. Nothing will happen to me today without passing through my Father's hands. It may not be God's will, but God has allowed the detour for a reason. It may not be His perfect will, but He's allowed it for a reason. When I was young, my family took a couple of vacations. And for me, vacation was all about the destination. We'd get up in the morning and I'd say, so where are we going today? And my dad might say, well, today we're headed as far as Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll spend the night there in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tomorrow we'll get on and get up and move on and go somewhere else. And so all day long, my mind was fixed on Knoxville, Tennessee, because I knew there would be a hotel or motel there, and that it would have a swimming pool, and I could swim the rest of the day. So I would just count the hours. How much longer to the swimming pool? Oh, we should be there in about 3 hours. How much longer now? 2 hours and 45 minutes. We'll be there. It was all about the destination. But to my frustration, for everyone else in my family, vacation was not just about the destination. It was about the journey. And they made the most of the journey. We'd be going down the road headed for our destination. And my sister would see a sign that says, Sea Rock City. Anybody ever seen that sign? And so my mom would say, wow, we've never seen Rock City. Let's go see Rock City. And so we would take a detour and we'd go see Rock City. And now, instead of getting at the swimming pool at 3 o'clock, it's going to be 5 o'clock until we get to the swimming pool. My sister used to go to the library or to the bookstore and she'd get these tour books, Fodor's or something like that. And these tour books would tell you things to see in whatever area you were in. So my sister would be watching the road signs and she'd realize that we're near Nashville or we're near something else, and she'd get in her book and she'd look it up and she'd say, hey, up the road 15 miles, it says here, there's a waterfalls and it's supposed to be beautiful and it's only a 5-mile hike round trip. My family would say, wow, that sounds awesome, let's go. Now instead of 5 o'clock, it's going to be 7 o'clock till I get to the swimming pool. We'd stop. For me, the goal was getting to the motel with a pool as fast as we could. For them, it was enjoying every part of the journey. I can honestly say even the bad parts. We were in Petoskey, Michigan, one time on vacation. A couple ran a red light. We came together with the front end of their car and totaled our car. Our car was done, our vacation was done. We still had some time left on our vacation. We got out of the car and my mom said, let's get over here on across the street, so we're way out of the way. And I'll never forget, when we stepped up on the corner, my mom said, this is going to be exciting to see what the Lord does here. I thought, exciting? There goes our vacation, there goes our car, I don't even know how we're going to get home. And you think this is going to be exciting? And folks, it was. I'll have to tell you that story sometime, what the Lord did. It was incredible. It was exciting. It was all about the journey for them. Now, I have since changed my mindset. I began to realize that sometimes on those trips, those detours we took were the best part of vacation. Getting to hike to a waterfall or climb up the side of a small mountain, foothill they would call it, I guess. And I've come to embrace the journey as much as the destination. Likewise, in the Christian life is a journey, and it's not just about the destination. Now, don't get me wrong, heaven is an awesome destination. You're not going to hear me complaining about our destination at all. But it's not just about our destination. It's about our journey. A journey that we take. That God allows detours to come in to make us more and more like Christ. A journey where God allows detours, things that we never would have chosen. If we could rewind the day, we would do something different to avoid that very circumstance. And God allows the detours to cause us to trust Him completely. Why is the Christian life also about the journey? Because the journey has a purpose. When God guides us into a time of unusual trial, we can count on Him to deliver us. If God leads you to it, His grace will lead you through it. Now, when I say that we can count on God to deliver us, that does not mean that God's going to say, oh, you're getting ready to enter a difficult situation. I'm just going to erase that off of your life's journey. I'm going to let you go around that difficulty. Now, it doesn't happen that way. Not always. Sometimes. God's promised to deliver us, but He hasn't promised to deliver us before we've gone through the difficult circumstances. Sometimes He delivers us out of those difficult circumstances. If God leads you to it, His grace will see you through it. Not necessarily around it, through it. It's by faith. It's by faith that we get through these difficult circumstances. Sometimes the circumstances are so great and so difficult that our human mind can't even imagine a solution. We can't even figure it out. There's just no reasoning it from a human standpoint. It makes no sense. But in God's economy, in God's plan, it makes perfect sense. And God is in control. So, God led Israel on this journey. And every day, every step, God was leading them. He did not allow them to go without guidance. He was there every step of the way. It's just that the guidance wasn't what they wanted or what they expected. Instead of heading directly to the promised land, God turned them right toward the Red Sea. The Red Sea. What a test of faith. The Red Sea was too big for them to swim across, too deep for them to wade across. Pharaoh was too close for them to build pontoons and ferry all the people and all their possessions across. They could not avoid the obstacle of the Red Sea. It was there in front of them. And it was God that led them there. He took them down an unexpected path. What in the world were they to do? At the first sign of difficulty, the people of Israel panicked. They were frightened. They cried out to the Lord. And they began to complain. Moses, how could you do this to us? Why did you bring us here to die? Remember, it wasn't Moses. It was the cloud. It was the pillar of fire. It was God that had brought them there. Let's read on, if we could. Exodus 14, beginning with verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So God brought them to this obstacle that was impossible for them to resolve. This obstacle that was impossible for them to comprehend. God brought them here because he wanted to teach them that the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. He wanted to teach them to trust him in all circumstances. God wanted to show them what he could do for them. God brought them here because he wanted the children of Israel to soar. To soar. And so God brought the restraints that they thought were holding them back. I wonder today, what is your Red Sea? What problem do you see as insurmountable? What immovable object is in your path, standing in your way? Well, like Moses told Israel, be still and watch what God will do. It's not easy. It's tough. We have a great God, and we can trust him.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.